Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
Our lesson today centers in and around the subject matter of gluttony. And as we look in regard to the subject matter today, I want us to understand that I did not choose to speak on gluttony today because we have a fellowship meal. I did not put the two together until yesterday, and I thought to myself, well, we're going to speak about gluttony and then we're going to go over and have a meal with each other. And I didn't do that on purpose. This lesson today on gluttony is developed because somebody had asked in regard to what does the Bible say about gluttony? What does God expect us to understand whenever it comes to our consumption of food? And I have entitled the lesson today for our format in regard to looking at food through the eyes of God. I want us to see food not from the way in which oftentimes we think about food, because our eyes get really big, bigger than our belly sometimes whenever we think about food. And I want us to think about food from the way in which God looks at food. First, I want us to define the term gluttony. Usually, whenever we think about gluttony, we think about overeating. And there is indeed that angle or element to it. However, from the Old Testament Scripture, we have two primary ways in which it is used. Someone who is morally loose sometimes is referred to in the Old Testament Scripture as a gluttonous individual, but also sometimes it speaks to an individual who has no restraint. And it can be used, and it oftentimes is used, in regard to not being able to restrain themselves from the consumption of food, but it can also lend in regard to the consumption of anything. So when we think about gluttony, we need to understand is that there are a number of ways in which God employs that word. From the New Testament, it speaks of a person who is unrestrained whenever it comes to gratification from fleshly things. And again, it might be in reference to, and sometimes is, our consumption of food, but it can lend itself to the way in which we would operate from an unrestrained standpoint when it comes to other things of a fleshly nature. This morning, whenever we speak in regard to gluttony, the consumption of overconsumption of food, I want us to understand is that that is what I am referring to, that whenever we would partake of food in a way that would not be healthy as well as in a way that would not be pleasing unto our God. In the way in which God worked in creation, we realize that man has been designed to consume food. That's the way in which we are able to survive. And not only has God created us with a need for food, God also then has made certain that we have food available for us. Take into consideration, whenever God created man, He also created vegetation. And why did God create vegetation? He created it not only for animals to consume, for the bringing about of their livelihood or sustaining of their livelihood, but also for you and me. Fruits and vegetables, they are actually good for man. And I will confess before you today is that it took me a while in my life to understand the good of fruits and vegetables. Why? Because I was an individual who loved to eat meat, and I still like to eat meat. But God wants us to understand that there is much good value, nutritional value, in fruits and vegetables. Why? Because that's the way in which He has designed these things that are there for us to consume. Also, nature itself offers some of the best medicines. Usually when we think in regard to our being sick or treating diseases and things of that nature, we think about modern day medicines, and by all means, I do not mean to stand before us today and to say that those things are of no account. Medicines are useful, and God works through those medicines and through our medical advancements to be able to help us to have health, to help bring about a more healthful life. But also, when we think in regard to the natural things, the products that God has laid before us, we need to understand that those things can also be beneficial for us. For instance, there are some natural oils that we can use that will help us with headaches and with sore throats and things of that nature. And Dawn and I have just recently came into an understanding of this. There's a a natural oil that's peppermint oil. And Neil and I were talking about this yesterday, that whenever I have a headache, oftentimes that's what I will use, is this is natural oil, and rub it on my nostrils, and it will help in that regard. And that's something that God has given us in nature that He wants us to understand as well as to utilize whenever it comes to our health. God also identifies from the Old and into the New Testament Scripture that animal meat is beneficial for us. It adds protein to our diet. All that God has created, from the fruits and the vegetables to natural plants and regarding the animals, these things are there for us. They are there for our good. They are there for the sustaining of our existence here in this life. And God wants us to understand these things and then to use them. Where does God work in regard to the way in which He seeks to provide for mankind? God works providentially, and we see that God, with Adam and Eve, had created an oasis for this man and this woman. He created what we read in the Bible as the Garden of Eden. And what was there in the Garden of Eden? Well, God walked with them in the cool of the day, the Scripture identifies. And not only were they blessed to be able to have God in their presence, but also God had blessed this man and this woman with everything that they needed, not only to sustain life, to make, but also to make their life a blessing. Take into consideration the context of Genesis chapter 2. God, in creating the Garden of Eden, tells us that Adam and Eve were able to partake of every tree of the garden with the exception of one, and that was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God had created all of this luscious vegetation that was there for this man and this woman, and all they had to go and do was to partake of it. And in that, God wanted them to understand that it was essential for them to do so in order for them to have life, a continual life here in this world. God wants man to know that we have been created with the need to eat. God also identifies that He supplied for Israel above what He did for anyone else. The Gentile world. Certainly God had blessed all of mankind with vegetation. But yet God, in a very special way, worked in and amongst the children of Israel, His people, His spiritual people and physical people, to make certain that they had everything that they needed to sustain their life. Take into consideration whenever they had left Egypt and they began to grow thirsty. God turned bitter water into sweet water, something that these individuals needed at that given time. Whenever Israel found themselves that they were hungry and they were not able to fend for themselves, God brought forth manna sent forth from heaven. God made certain that Israel had everything that they needed on their journey to give them strength and to give them the strength that they needed not only to make their journey, but to fulfill their life. Good people, the New Testament Scripture identifies that God has always taken care of His creation. He has taken care of the creatures that He has created. But also, He has created mankind after His image, and God, in a special way, has always made certain that He gives us everything that we need. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. And the Scripture also then tells us, for you and me today, that He will continue to feed all of our needs. Now, that does not mean that we're going to have everything that our heart desires. There are things in this world that we might think that we want or that we might think that we need. And really and truly, whenever it comes to material things, we can do without. But whenever it comes to the essential things of life, the make or break things, God says that He is always going to make sure that we have those things in our life. Why? Because it's according to the laws of which He has set up nature itself. God does indeed make certain that He sends rain that we need, that He gives us the vegetation that our bodies require. And yet at the same time, you and I need to understand that God requires us to do something in order to attain the things that we need in life. What do we find in regard to the culture of which we are part of in this world? We, as Americans, we really love to eat our unhealthy southern dishes, do we not? I love fried chicken, and in fact, For preachers, oftentimes we will refer to the chicken as the holy bird. Why? Because usually whenever you're invited to somebody's house, a member's home, what is it that they want to feed you? Chicken. And as a preacher, I'm all right with that. And yet at the same time, when we think in regard to chicken, how do we fix it more times than not? We fry it. And that, being fried, usually not only adds calories to it, but that fatty content is not the best for us. It can cause us problems, maybe not only immediately, but somewhere down the road. But also, we are addicted to the consumption of sweets. How many in here this morning love sweets? I love sweets. But I've got to watch what I take in whenever it comes to sweets. When we lived in Pennsylvania, we were 30 minutes, 35 at most, to Hershey, Pennsylvania. And when people would come to visit, guess where they would want to go? Hershey, Pennsylvania. And whenever we went there, we would have to go through the simulated thing that they have set up that will introduce you to the process, the way in which they make their chocolates. And whenever they finish you out, then they give you a little piece of candy and dump you out into the candy store. And that's a dangerous place to be whenever you like sweets. I love sweets, and I've got to be very careful whenever it comes to the consumption of sweets. Why? Because my mind says is that I want to have all that is laid before me. And God certainly wants us to redirect our thoughts so that we look at food not from our standpoint, but rather from the way in which God looks at things. We also like to fellowship around the dinner table. And there's nothing wrong with that. We're going to do that after services over in the annex. And I love to be able to sit across the table with my brothers and sisters in Christ and consume food, but also just to engage in conversation. And as we're engaging in conversation, oftentimes we will eat more than what we're thinking. Why? Because we're not thinking about what we're eating. We're thinking about what's going on right before us. I remember years ago, Dawn and I were blessed with some visitors, friends of ours from New Zealand, natives of New Zealand. He was also a graduate of the School of Preaching, and they were in Nashville, and they were actually heading down to Chattanooga, and we found out about that, and I said, "Hey, Nathan, can we meet you and Rachel and the family over in Manchester, and we'll take you all out for supper?" And Nathan says, "That would be great." So we met him over there around supper time, and I forget now exactly what restaurant we went to. It's immaterial. But whenever we ordered our food, I was a heavier guy at the time. I ordered just like I normally would, and it was this huge plate of food. And Nathan, he ordered just a very modest, moderate amount, and of course the rest of his family did the same. And whenever they brought the food to the table, his eyes got really big, and he looks at me and he says, "You guys really like to eat." He said, "I forgot about that." When they were students here, he also had picked up on that, but they'd been away for many years, and now come back to report, and he says, "You guys, you eat around the dinner table." And that's true. We love to fellowship around the dinner table, and we've got to be very careful whenever it comes to taking in the consumption, the amounts of food. Also, for some of us, we like to sneak those late-night snacks in. Tomorrow morning late, I will be having a procedure on my throat. I have a situation where my esophagus needs to be expanded from time to time, and really no big deal whenever it comes to that. It causes me problems if I don't get it done. So I'm looking forward to that aspect of it, and I'll be able to eat better. There we are talking about eating. I've got to watch it a little closer maybe. But they told me, whenever they gave me the instructions on Friday, what time to be at the doctor's, they said, you want to make sure that you eat late Sunday night. So I've got the doctor's permission for a late night snack tonight, right? We love to take those snacks right before we're going to bed, and doctors will even tell us that that's not the best time to eat. Those who aren't preparing you for surgery anyway. That's not the best time to eat. Why? Because you're not able to exercise to burn off that calories or those calories that you've just consumed. And we have a problem in the United States with the way that we look at food. And I'm going to say that there are contributors to that. In part, what it is that the restaurants try to push on us. They encourage us to supersize our value meal. McDonald's tries to do that, right? Trent and I were over in Cleveland, Tennessee on Friday, and I asked Trent, I said, "Where do you want to eat?" And McDonald's has this McRib back, and we both love McRibs, and though we hadn't had one for a long time, probably last year, I guess it was, whenever they last had them out, and they have a deal where you buy your value meal and then you get the second McRib for $2. And I said, let's do that. I said, do you want a fry? And he says, well, not a lot. And I said, well, that's me. I said, let's supersize it. So that's what we did. We supersized. It's available. And oftentimes, restaurants will tell us, what size do you want? Do you want a small, medium, or large? And what do we want to do? We want to make sure that we're able to get what we want and what we feel we need at the time. They also offer us these amazing buffets. One of the places that I love to eat is Golden Corral, because you can just go and get anything you want. Or Dawn and I, many of you told us about a restaurant over in Murfreesboro a few years ago that's called the Farmer's Family Restaurant, I think, or something like that. And you name it, it's there. And the problem with it is that it's there and you can just keep going back for more and more. And after I've lost my weight, we still go to those places, but I've learned to be a little more cautious whenever it comes to eating. We go to some restaurants, and sometimes they will offer appetizers, and they will say, would you like to have an appetizer? And typically, what is it that we want to say? Well, sure, there's nothing wrong with whetting the appetite. Nothing wrong with starting us off with this or that. And I'm going to say, as long as we treat the appetizer fairly, as long as we do not overeat in regard to that, so that we have room for our meal, there's nothing wrong with doing that, as long as we can afford it and things of that nature. But also, whenever it comes to the fast food industry, they try to fill our stomachs with all kinds of fatty foods. And God wants us to realize the dangers that are associated with fatty foods and with overeating, health issues, and other problems that it might bring forth in our lives, and the way in which God expects us to look at food and also to value our body. The Bible gives us warning concerning the drunkard and the glutton from Proverbs chapter 23, verses 20 and 21. I find it interesting that he places the drunkard, those who consume alcoholic beverage, and the glutton, those who overconsume meats in the context, or you could take it and apply it to any food. He puts them in the same category. And what's he say about them? It's not positive. He says that oftentimes it will lead to these individuals being poor. And we've got to understand that God frowns upon not only the drunkard, but God also looks down upon us if we would become gluttonous in regard to our consumption of food or anything in regard to life. But also God identifies is that the wise person eats only what is necessary. God does not want us to overeat, but rather God wants us to eat until we're full or until we're satisfied. In our class this morning, we were speaking in reference to Ruth. And whenever Ruth is blessed by Boaz, and Boaz then takes her to sit at his table during mealtime, he passes food continually to her, and she eats not until her heart's content, but rather until she is satisfied, until she's had enough to fill her up. And then the Scripture also says, as that she was thinking about Naomi and she held food back to take over to her mother-in-law, Naomi. And certainly we've got to be thinking about others whenever we eat. And not only that we have enough to eat, but also maybe that others. But God wants us, when we eat, to eat responsibly and to eat only that which is necessary. Usually, whenever we think in regard to eating, we say that we're to watch what we eat. And oftentimes we eat what we watch. We become people that look on food in the wrong way, and we just gotta have it and have more and more. And God says that we need to eat responsibly. Christians must eat always to the glory of God. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, also whether you eat or drink, the Scripture says, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, do it to the glory of God. And that would hold true then whenever we sit down at the lunch table or whenever we sit down at the breakfast table or supper table. God wants us to eat to His glory. Not in a way that would make us obese. that it would cause health problems, and hence God would not be glorified in that. Not in a way to where somebody would say, man, you people over at the Church of Christ, you really like to eat. And we do. We fellowship around it. And we don't want people to look at us, or also then as a result of the way in which they might look at us, to look at God in a negative way. But God also identifies for us from the book of Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21, that God will judge our gluttonous ways. He will judge every angle of our life, the good and the evil. And gluttony is a part of that. And God wants us to understand that if we overeat, if we eat in an unhealthy way, in a way that is not glorifying to His name, then we will stand punished in the day of judgment for that sin. This sinful practice, according to what the Bible says, must be identified and it must be stopped. As we look to ourselves and the way in which we look at food or the way in which we consume food, God wants us to see whether or not we have a problem. Because the one who is a gluttonous, the one who does overeat, it can become a problem. And God says to identify the problem, and then as a result of identifying the problem, we've got to do something about it. The church here knows, and those who watch us on television, I've had people in the community come up to me in the last 4, 5, 6 months, and they say, are you Kevin Key? And I'm like, yes. And I've had them do that in the past. Hey, you're Kevin Key. I watch you on television. But now, usually they come up and they say, are you Kevin Key? And I'm like, yes. And they say, you don't look the same. I'm like, well, what do you mean? I think I know what they mean. But I say, what do you mean? They say, have you lost a lot of weight? Yeah, I've lost about 100 pounds. They're like, ah, that's it. What did you do? Well, I started pushing back and then also pushing up. Pushing back the food and doing exercise, trying to get in shape. I identified that it was causing me problems, not only physically, but even with God. And I'm sorry for that congregation. And therefore, I identified it and I said, I've got to do something about it. So I started changing the way in which I look at food and the way in which I consume food, even to this very day. Every soul needs to take control of their diet. We hate that word diet, but the word diet doesn't mean that we're on some type of a strict or regimented food intake. It can mean that. But diet literally means the way that we eat. We've got to look to the way in which we eat, the way that we diet, and to control it. And to realize is that if we do not control it, it's going to get out of control. And whenever it's out of control, then we not only hinder ourselves from a physical standpoint, but also we put ourselves at odds with our God. Christians must understand the importance above all to feast upon God's Word. And why did I put feast upon God's Word in here? Well, because that ought to be certainly the center of our life. But if we're feasting on God's Word, then we're going to come across things like what God says about proper diet, as well as about proper exercise and things. And when we read those things and understand that this is what God wants us to do and how He expects us to focus and what He wants us to, how He wants us to conduct our lives, even at the supper table, then we'll be well on our way to changing our lives for the good of life as well as for the good of our spiritual existence. But also, let me express this morning that a daily exercise program can be very profitable. When we were going into the school of preaching, went into the school of preaching over at East Tennessee School of Preaching and Missions, now Southeast Institute of Biblical Studies is what they're called. When I went into the school in 2008, I weighed at that time 180 pounds. And when we went in for our first day of chapel, Brother Charles Brown stood in front of us and he says, gentlemen, he says, we want to welcome you here to the program, but we also want to give you some words of wisdom and advise you to be very cautious whenever it comes to eating. Why? Because usually our students will pick up the freshman 15 within the first year. And I thought, freshman 15? He says, that's 15 pounds in 12 months. Well, you know, when we were in the school of preaching, I gained 20 pounds in the first 3 months. And I went to him and said, is there some kind of a prize if you get it in 3 months? He also, in that first lesson before us in chapel, said, and he came out of 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, he says, bodily exercise profits little. And then he went on to show that godliness is certainly what God wants us to focus on. But when he hit upon what God says there, bodily exercise profits little, he says, I don't want you to think about the little in the context, but rather the word profit. There is profit in exercise. And he encouraged us, and the staff encouraged us, to stay in an exercise mode while we were going through the school. We didn't do it, most of us. In fact, I don't think any of us did. And we put on not only the freshman 15, but a lot of us put on 25, 30, 40 pounds as a result of going through that program and sitting there and eating and not having exercise. And it holds true then to every aspect of life. If we do not exercise, then we're not burning off what it is that we're taking in. There's so much good that can come from having a regimen, daily exercise program. It will help to keep off those unnecessary pounds, and it will also to help us to be more healthy so that we are able then to glorify God with our lives, but also to be able then to do greater things in the kingdom of our God. I know today's lesson has not been about becoming a Christian, but rather about responsibilities as a Christian whenever it comes to our proper eating. If you're here this morning and you're outside of the body of Christ, we want to extend our Lord's invitation to you today to have your sins washed away in a watery grave of baptism, to be raised then to walk in news of life, to be counted as one of God's faithful children. If you're here this morning subject to the Lord's call in any way, please come.